Certainly glad that you're out again this evening. I hope you had an enjoyable afternoon, very warm afternoon, to be in the middle of winter time, and certainly we've enjoyed that today. I invite you to turn to Mark, the 10th chapter, Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. Mark 10, verses 46 through 52. This is about a man named Bartimaeus who is blind. I haven't really known that many people that are blind during my lifetime. Two, probably the two that you've known. Jimmy Shaw, who passed away a short time ago. Many of us knew Jimmy, and he was a... Sort of a self-made man. He attended college. He became one of the heads of the Social Security Administration here in Louisville, worked down on Broadway for a great number of years. A fine Christian, a very cordial man to be with. Never really heard him say anything harsh during his lifetime, at least when I was around. He just seemed to be a very enjoyable man to be around. The times that I was with him and the times that I had him in the car with me, we enjoyed ourselves greatly. The other was a member here named Mary Lou Lacefield. I think this would be the polar opposite of Jimmy. I didn't see very few times that Mary Lou was very satisfied about anything. I suppose there were times when she was happy. I know in the latter part of her life that Kent was, I guess, conservator over her for a number of years. I don't know. Has she passed away, Kent? All right. Nursing home in Pikeville. And certainly not a one that seemed to be very happy most of the time. It seemed like we just couldn't make her happy with the things that we tried to do for her, whether to pick her up or to take her to eat or whatever it was. It seemed like she was just not a happy person. So it's the two people that I knew that were blind. We pick up the reading now at Mark chapter 10 and in verse 46 through 52, it says, "And then they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. And when he had heard that Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' And many were sternly telling him to be quiet. But he kept crying out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stopped and said, 'Call him here.' And they called the blind man, saying to him, 'Take courage, stand up. He is calling for you.' Throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up, he came to Jesus, and answering him, Jesus said, 'What do you want me to do for you?' And the blind man said to him, 'Rabboni, I want to regain my sight.' And Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and began following him on the road. In Vincent's word study, as well as some others, concerning that of blindness, it says diseases of the eye were common in the East. The ash heaps were extremely mischievous. On the occurrence of the slightest wind, air is filled with fine, pungent dust, which is injurious to the eyes. I once walked the streets counting all that they were either blind or had defective eyes, the writer says, and it amounted to about one half of the male population. The women I could not count, for they were rigidly veiled. Palgrave says that ophthalmia, or maya, is fearfully prevalent, especially among children. It would be no exaggeration to say that one adult out of every five has his eyes more or less damaged by the consequences of this disease. But here's something different. And that is a man that is blind, that doesn't have any sight whatsoever. And as we look at this tonight, just look at it from the standpoint of just our lives as well in the beginning, one of the first things might be the idea just to think of all you would miss if you were blind. Now, I suppose it's even one thing to be able to see and then later on in life lose your eyesight, maybe because of diabetes or because of something else. But to have a memory of things, maybe you have a memory of how your wife looks, the memory of your home, the memory of this or that. But many times what we're dealing with here is someone that has been born blind. And the things that you would miss if that occurred. I wrote down some of the things that are just wonderful to see, especially the Kentuckiana area. The different seasons. That if you were born blind, yes, you would be able to feel the cold or the heat. But you wouldn't be able to see any of this that goes on from the time of year that we're in right now to the spring when the flowers start to come out and the summertime when everything seems to be in full bloom and then the beauty of fall and then back to winter. Once again. Or maybe like in the past few nights, the different hues of blue in the sky. Maybe with the sun coming through much of the time. And just think about that if you were never able to see that. Maybe a starry night. Try to explain to someone about on a clear night all the stars that are in the sky. Someone that is blind, not able to see at all, never has been able to see. Or your family, your children. To think about that you were never able to see your children. Or now with so many of you, all your grandchildren that you have, and not be able to see one of your grandchildren. And you know that all your grandchildren and children are so different from each other. And how you enjoy that. Well, there are problems with being blind. Getting around. Today we have TARC that people can call and they'll come out to your door now. And many times they'll pick you up for a small fee. But we're talking about 2,000 years ago. It wasn't a TARC. Maybe just at the mercy of someone else to take you down, like in Acts chapter 3, to the gate called Beautiful to beg alms from people. Or to lie by the pool of Siloam and wait for the angel to come and to stir the waters. And if you're the first one in the water, then you have an opportunity to be healed. But you can't see that, so you never really have the chance. Maybe it's the idea that you're just not able to read. We have been blessed over the past a couple of centuries now with the ability to have Braille books, tablets, to where people with sight problems, they're able. I remember here the people, Jimmy and Mary Lou, they would bring a portion of the Bible with them in Braille and be able to read. 2,000 years ago, they didn't have that. Even something simple like the elevator now. It just has something on there that you can feel, or maybe on a hotel door now that you can feel, and it tells you what your room number is. They didn't have anything like that 2,000 years ago. Your occupation would be extremely limited as to what you were able to do or accomplish many, many years ago. So there are problems with being blind. Maybe you just end up having to be a beggar. And we have a lot of people on the streets today. You can probably go down any block in downtown Louisville during the business hours, and there'll be somebody that will be asking you for money. Many times they don't have the physical problems that the people had, though, 2,000 years ago. But still, it's a reality. But we understand in the scriptures there is something that is worse than blindness. And in John chapter 9 and in verse 35 through 41, John 9 verses 35 through 41, John 9 verse 35 beginning. It says, and Jesus heard they had put him out, and finding him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? And he answered, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? Now this goes back to the beginning of chapter 9, where he had healed a man that was born blind. Jesus said to him, the man who was born blind, you have both seen him, and he is the one who is talking with you. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. Those of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things and said to him, "Are we not blind too, are we?" And Jesus said to them, If you were blind, you would have no sin. But since you say, "We see," your sin remains. What we're talking about here, something that is worse than blindness, is that of spiritual blindness. And some that are spiritual blind, if they recognize that they have this handicap in their life, that they would truly come to Jesus so they could see. But that's not the case with many. Let me see something else here back in Mark and in chapter 10. In Mark chapter 10 and in verse 47, Mark 10 verse 47, it says, "When he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.'" And they told him, to quiet down. You're bothering people. In fact, they sternly said to him, quiet down. And he all the more screams out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy. Have mercy on me." What do you want? Did he want Jesus just to feel sorry for him? A lot of times they want people to feel sorry for them. Over in Matthew and in chapter 5 and in verse 7. Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. It says in verse 7, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." In Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 12, Colossians 3 and in verse 12. Colossians 3 and in verse 12 it says, "So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience." In fact, he says over in 1 John chapter 3 and in verses 16 through 18. 1 John 3 and in verses 16 through 18. It says in verse 16, "We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. For whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but let us love in deed and truth." What is he saying here in all these passages? I want someone that has feelings towards somebody, that I want them to move to action as Jesus did. He moved to action here. In fact, we see that this man here, this blind man, his faith moved him to act. Back in Mark and in chapter 10 again and in verse 52, Mark chapter 10 and in verse 52, Matthew, Mark, it's the second book in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, chapter 10, verse 52. It says in verse 52, "And Jesus said to him, Go, your faith has made you well. And immediately he regained his sight and began following him on the road." Was he realized? He realizes here that Jesus is his only solution. His only solution to being healed of this blindness. His only solution to being made whole. Again, their theology is, if someone has a handicap, then they are living in sin, or their parents are living in sin. Therefore, if someone is removed of that handicap, the logic is, that the person doesn't have any sin anymore. So, the only way that he is going to rid himself of this handicap is to look to Jesus as the solution. That's what we need to do. In fact, we see here in chapter 10 of Mark and in verse 51 again, it talks about the power of Christ. In verse 51, "And answering him, Jesus said, What do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, I want to regain my sight. And Jesus said, Go, your faith has made you well. And immediately, this occurs. We looked this morning for just a second in John chapter 3 with Nicodemus as he is having his conversation by night with Jesus. In verses 1 and 2 it says, "A man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, this man came to Jesus by night and said, Rabbi, I know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." He realized the immediacy of these miracles and what had occurred over in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. And in verse 22, Acts 2 and in verse 22 on the day of Pentecost, it says, "Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know." They knew these miracles were real, and that Jesus was all powerful. In fact, over in Hebrews and in chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 2 and in verses 1 through 4, Hebrews chapter 2 verses 1 through 4, it says, "For this reason, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it. For if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was at first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard, God also testifying with them, both by signs and wonders, and by various miracles, and by the gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to His will." Well, my time's just about up. One more point, the lesson's yours. And that is a faith that is going to make us whole. We're going to be whole spiritually. There's nobody that's going to heal me of my heart disease And nobody is going to maybe take away all the problems that everybody here has. But you understand one thing, and that is that our faith can make us whole spiritually. That's what's important. We're all sick. When I receive this little grandson a few weeks from now, when I hold him in my arms for the first time, that little boy is starting to die. It happens. But the point is, we have the opportunity to be whole spiritually. We're all going to die. But we can be made whole spiritually. In Romans and in chapter 5 and in verse 1, Romans chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God." He's broken down that barrier through Jesus Christ. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And in the last verse we'll use tonight, Hebrews chapter 5, and in verses 8 and 9, Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9, it says, "Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation." Do you want to be made whole tonight? Oh, you might still have diabetes. You might still have other problems in your life. But we're talking about being made whole spiritually, to where you can spend an eternity with God. And you're not going to have to worry about these things anymore. We would encourage you tonight that if you need to respond to the gospel in any way by coming to Christ and baptism, or to come back to your first love once again, we invite you to come right now. While together we stand, we sing.